You're listening to Immaculate Conception Podcasts, recorded every Sunday at the 11 o'clock Mass at our new church located at 411 Palmer Road in Columbia, Illinois. For more information about Immaculate Conception, please go to www.icc-columbia-il.us. Our pastor is Father Carl Scheer. And now, enjoy the podcast.
Someone mentioned to me as they entered church this morning, it's quite windy out here. And I said, yes, it's the wind of the Holy Spirit blowing among us. Some of our hair got messed up. In fact, it blows so hard that some of the men lost all their hair already. I'm not pointing fingers at anyone. 2 weeks ago, I went to Mass at St. Leo the Great Parish in Bonita Springs, Florida. And it's a rather large church. Probably some of you have been there. And so at the Mass, it was time for communion. Because it's such a large church, I thought I want to now follow the people in front of me so that I can make sure I get back in the right pew and I come back for communion. So this lady was sitting next to me. I followed her around as I was coming back for communion. All of a sudden, in this cruciform church that had two transepts on either side, she made a right turn towards one of the transepts. And I thought, we're not sitting there. Then I realized, she's leaving. I wanted to tap her on the shoulder and say, it's not over yet. But I tried to remember the words of today's second reading from Corinthians, that love is not rude. This reading that we heard today is a reading that many brides and grooms choose for their wedding. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, where he describes so eloquently what God's love is all about. And the love that St. Paul describes is the selfless love of Jesus himself. It's not the kind of love that we may see in movies sometimes or sung about in contemporary music or in romance novels. But it's a love that is more than just romance. It's a love that is selfless, kind, caring, and patient, not quick-tempered, compassionate, and forgiving, never self-seeking. It is this kind of love Jesus came to teach us that will bring us genuine joy, a selfless love that always puts others first. For when we put others first, we put God first, because God is present in the others, and it is from God, and only from God, that we can find the fullness of joy that we all seek in this life and in eternity. Pope Francis says, God's name is love, to remind us that those two words are almost synonymous. Last week at Immaculate Conception School, I asked the students at one of our weekday liturgies, how do you spell God? And then I had them spell God out by some of the volunteer students coming forward and laying on the floor to spell out L-O-V-E. That's how you spell God. We know that these words of St. Paul in his letter to the Corinthians are very challenging for us all. And we'll never reach perfect love. But it's good that we hear this idea so we can continue in the struggle to strive to be the best person that we can be. We know that we've had many examples around us. One of the highlights of my ministry was back in 1976 when I took a group of high school youth teens from our diocese to attend the International Eucharistic Congress in Philadelphia, our country's bicentennial year. And we attended a youth mass presided over by Cardinal Dearden. And as the Spectrum, which is where the Philadelphia Flyers and 76ers played in those days, was filled with some 15, 20,000 teenagers. It was a very vibrant liturgy, as you can imagine. But at the end of the liturgy, to the surprise of everyone, Cardinal Dearden introduced a special guest. And the introduction was this: this woman speaks a language that needs no translation, the language of love. And of course, he was introducing Mother Teresa of Calcutta. And when she spoke to those 20,000 teenagers, there was complete silence. She had our attention. because we knew here is an example of selfless love. She had credibility when she spoke. She will soon be canonized a saint. St. Paul tells us, genuine love rejoices with the truth. I'm always inspired by the example of St. Thomas More of the 16th century, who was beheaded by the king because he refused to compromise the truth of the gospel. And his final words before his execution were, "I am the king's good servant, but God's servant first." A reminder to us that we must never compromise the truth of the gospel for anything or anyone. Paul tells us, selfless love endures all things, does not brood over injury. Another great saint of the church, St. Peter Claver, also of the 16th century, dedicated his entire life to ministering to slaves. At the end of his life, he became terribly ill and needed constant attention. So one of the slaves was assigned to take care of him. But the slave completely neglected him and his needs. His suffering was great. But even though he's being neglected by those that he had taken such good care of, his only response was, "My sins deserve far worse than this." Genuine selfless love does not brood over injury. It endures all things. We're all familiar with St. Maximilian Kolbe, the priest in the Nazi death camp, who took the place of the father of a family who was scheduled to be executed so that he might live. He gave his life. Selfless love does not seek its own interests. Father Kolbe was canonized a saint by the church several years ago, and the gentleman whose life was saved by his selfless love was present for that canonization. Selfless love bears all things, hopes all things. While in Florida, a book that I read entitled The Hiding Place, written by Corrie ten Boom, about her and her family in Holland during the Nazi occupation, and how they were finally arrested as a family because they were hiding the Jewish people of their community to protect them from the Nazis. And so she was taken to a prison camp. But she had with her all during that time a Bible that she kept hidden, knowing that if it was ever found, she could face execution. She read from that family Bible that the family read from every day before her imprisonment. And it gave her great hope. And others around her in the prison would join each evening to hear her read from the Bible. It gave them hope, and it helped them to bear all things. And Corrie ten Boom survived that Nazi concentration camp with her Bible. How often do we read our Bibles? Selfless love bears all things, hopes all things. And it is the Scriptures that teach us about God's selfless love. In a few weeks, we're beginning a movie series here at the parish as part of our adult faith formation. And the second movie of the series is my favorite movie, entitled Life is Beautiful. The story of a father who gives himself to save and protect his son from the Nazis in a concentration camp. Again, selfless love, putting others before ourselves. Nothing is more powerful than selfless love. It can withstand rejection, ridicule, hardship, disappointment, and heartache. Another book that I read during my time in Florida was entitled For a Higher Purpose. It was written by a former popular local sports broadcaster, Zip Rezepa. And he talks about his dream was to be a highly paid sports broadcaster and have all the finer things of life. But he realized after a while he had all that and he didn't find the joy that he was seeking. So he gave all that up and put it aside and began to seek a higher purpose in life by dedicating himself to caring for the poor and the disadvantaged, working for the St. Vincent de Paul, and now has formed his own ministry called Mater Media, where he does evangelization work, proclaiming the truth of the gospel. We are presently in contact with him, and we hope that he'll be here to speak to us sometime this spring, once we can settle on a date that works for both of us. Again, selfless love realizes that genuine joy can only come from God, who is love. Selfless love is indeed the most powerful sign of the presence of God in our midst. And as church, the body of Christ, we are to be the face of selfless love, like these many people I have mentioned who have gone before us and still live in our midst, have been the face of God's selfless love to others. When we live this kind of love, so eloquently described by St. Paul in our second reading today in his letter to the Corinthians, then we truly proclaim by our lives that God is good
all the time.
All the time.